our stations. Other contributors include Odoo, an all-in-one business management software platform for small or large businesses with the goal of being flexible and scalable. Learn more about Odoo at odoo.com. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
It's 94 degrees in Topeka, where it feels like 105. It is 92 in Manhattan, where it feels like 101. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies all around the state. You can also choose to listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or via our app. We have an app, a version for iOS, a version for Android, lots of ways to hear KPR, however you're doing it. Thank you for choosing KPR to bring you the news today.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, offering care through a variety of morning, midday, afternoon, and evening clinics, thanks to volunteer providers and community support. Details at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Coming up in our next half-hour news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, we will hear from Nina Totenberg, talking about a U.S. Supreme Court ruling today saying that virtually all children born in the U.S. are entitled to birthright citizenship. Legal experts weren't really surprised by that decision, but a lot of people were surprised by the fact that it was a 5-4 decision. It turns out to be a really complicated issue. So Nina's going to talk about that, and we will hear about a mistake that Nina made today. We will hear her apology and her explanation of what happened, and information about her apology to Justice Samuel Alito. It's all coming up here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from KU's School of Professional Studies in Overland Park, home to master's and undergraduate degree programs. Options include fully online, in-person, and hybrid. More at sps.ku.edu.
Mostly clear skies this evening, but what you'll notice is the humidity. Very humid tonight, and the lows aren't very low. Lows in the upper 70s tonight. More heat tomorrow and humidity with highs in the lower 90s and extreme heat warning in effect until 9 o'clock Friday night. It's 6:20.
Support for NPR. Enjoy NPR.org, optimized for the iPad. This is NPR.
What is the meaning of the Supreme Court's final decisions of its term? They ruled the Constitution guarantees birthright citizenship. The court also ruled on transgender athletes and campaign finance. We'll analyze those decisions tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition with Matthew Algio as your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Spider Arch Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing. More information on home preservation is at Spider, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com.
News headlines coming up in just about 40 seconds. An extreme heat warning is in effect for virtually all of the KPR listening area through 9 o'clock Friday night. Stay safe, stay hydrated, stay cool if you can. It is 6:30.
They'll say it's necessary because the existing rail tunnel under the Hudson River is more than a century old and was damaged during Hurricane Sandy. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Shares of beaten-down AI stocks led the Wall Street charge today. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The U.S. Supreme Court's decision upholding bans on transgender athletes in girls and women's sports will likely protect a Kansas law from future legal challenges. Statehouse reporter Zach Boblett has the details.
Kansas already has a 2023 law banning transgender athletes from playing in girls and women's sports. It affects both public schools and colleges. The federal ruling strengthens that law by setting precedent. The Associated Press reports that Kansas is one of 27 states that have similar bans. Transgender Kansan Adam Kellogg says the decision is one of many pushing transgender people out of public spaces.
It's sort of to not in my backyard, trans people.
Attorney General Chris Kobach said in a statement that the Kansas law is now safe from attack. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Two former employees of the Wyandotte County District Court received prison sentences today for using their positions in the accounting office to steal approximately $980,000 in taxpayer money. Federal prosecutors say 65-year-old Julia Roberts of Leavenworth and 63-year-old Vicki Robinson of Bronner Springs pleaded guilty to wire fraud conspiracy. A judge sentenced Roberts to nearly 3.5 years in prison. Robinson received a little more than 2 years. Kansas State University students have developed a muffin mix made from sorghum, a sustainable crop that often isn't eaten by people. The Sunrise Sorghum Muffin Mix uses the grain as its first ingredient. The goal is to make a healthy recipe for Kansas schools from one of the state's top crops. Students focused on improving the muffin's taste, and they found success flavoring the recipe with apple or chocolate. Elisa Carkley teaches food and grain science at K-State. She says sorghum is a healthy grain that should be eaten more.
Just increasing the exposure of sorghum and adding more variety, and especially using a Kansas crop in our school system, that would be a great objective.
The muffin recipe is waiting on final approval from the Kansas State Department of Education, and after that, the recipe will be distributed to cafeterias. Extreme heat warning till 9 o'clock Friday night. This is KPR.
Support me, kid.
Are you kidding me? Of course I was.
Somebody
questions
who,
for everybody.
Somebody who liked to ask questions all the time?
Yeah. Annoyingly so, I think some people would say. But
well,
yeah.
I mean,
maybe
I
today
think,
they would say that.
I think a lot of us were. And you know what else? I think a lot of other people are.
Stay nosy. Stay curious. With Morning Edition, every weekday morning on NPR News.
As it turns out, we are an NPR affiliate. Guess what? You can hear Morning Edition on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Get nosy with us every weekday, 5 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 89.7 FM in Emporia. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org, where not only are we streaming, you can see a complete listing of all of our frequencies all around the state. Take a look at a compendium of daily news headlines. You can see video from performances inside our live performance studio. Much to see, much to do at kansaspublicradio.org.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, working with local partners like Via Christi, Pawnee Mental Health, and area health departments to expand care for uninsured patients. More information at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Mostly clear this evening, mostly cloudy after midnight. It's going to be humid overnight with lows only getting down to the upper 70s. We do have an extreme heat warning in effect until 9 o'clock Friday night. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From Bank of America, sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Dedicated to offering solutions to help businesses win, locally and globally. More at bankofamerica.com/gamechangers. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
What is the effect of the Supreme Court's final decisions of its term, including one on birthright citizenship? On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more. All available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal as your host. At 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night with Tom Parkinson.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at nuvanthouse.com.
It's not going to get very cool tonight for a low. It is sticky. It is nasty. It is frankly dangerous. Humid conditions tonight with a low in the upper 70s. Hot and humid tomorrow with highs in the lower 90s. An extreme heat warning in effect until Friday at 9 p.m. It's 7:01. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. In a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld birthright citizenship. As NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports, the move is a stark rebuke to one of President Trump's day one executive orders.
President Trump wanted to change the way the 14th Amendment of the Constitution was interpreted. He argued children of those who are not citizens or permanent residents should also not be citizens themselves. But a majority of justices interpreted the words, quote, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, to mean that all children born in the U.S. are automatically granted citizenship, with the only exception being the children of foreign diplomats. Three justices, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and Samuel Alito, dissented. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump said the birthright citizenship decision was, quote, too bad for our country, but that Congress could easily address it with legislation. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's very disappointed and that Congress would have to deal with it, but without providing specifics. He said the 14th Amendment is being abused by people who are coming to the U.S. to have children.
It's become a tourism, birthing tourism, they call it, you know, a trend where people will just come and you just come onto the soil and have your child, and then they're able to avail themselves of the welfare state and everything else.
The Justice Department issued a statement today saying it is, quote, committed to tackling illegal birth tourism schemes. A New Jersey Republican who went missing from Congress months ago has revealed depression was the reason he was away. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports Representative Thomas Kane shared the news on the House floor after a nearly four-month hiatus.
Congressman Kane says he checked into a hospital for testing and was diagnosed with depression. Kane said he miscalculated how long he would be away for his recovery.
It is physical. It is emotional. And until you experience it yourself, it is difficult to fully understand how powerful this illness can be.
His absence fueled rumors and speculation in a GOP-led House that relies on a razor-thin majority. Despite his absence, Kane won the GOP primary earlier this month unopposed. He'll defend his seat in this fall's midterm elections against a Democrat in what is a competitive district in New Jersey. Democrats say his seat is a top target to flip in their pursuit of taking back the majority next year. Claudia Grisales, NPR News.
Aid groups are warning that Venezuela's healthcare system is at its breaking point after last week's earthquakes. Damaged hospitals are overwhelmed and conditions in the disaster zone are worsening. The government death toll has surpassed 1,700, with more bodies being found. Thousands have been displaced and are living in unsanitary conditions. The UN is expressing concern about the spread of infectious diseases. The healthcare system, already strained by years of underinvestments under extreme pressure, many hospitals are damaged and specialist doctors are missing. This is NPR News from Washington.
Stardate June 30th. The bright star that marks the tail of the swan is big, bright, and heavy.
If you want to know how big, bright, and heavy, well, the most precise answer we can give you is very. We know for sure that Deneb is one of the more imposing stars around, but the details are a little hazy because the star's distance is hazy. In part, that's because of Deneb's impressiveness. The most accurate stellar distances come from Gaia, a space telescope. But Deneb is so bright that Gaia can't look at it directly. Instead, it has to study the star indirectly, sort of like checking something out through the corner of its eye. It takes a lot of work to translate those glimpses into solid numbers. In addition, the star's outer layers are puffy and unstable, so it's hard to know just where its surface is. And you need a good idea of the surface to measure the star's location. The best estimates say that Deneb is about 1,500 light-years away, one of the most remote stars that's visible to the eye alone. But other estimates say it's almost twice that far. So based on that range, Deneb is about 15 to 20 times the mass of the Sun, 100 to 200 times the Sun's diameter, and 50,000 to 200,000 times its brightness. Impressive numbers for a very impressive star. Deneb is a third of the way up the northeastern sky at nightfall and soars high overhead during the night. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
For us. Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for joining me. It's a Tuesday evening. Here we are at the end of June. Holy mackerel day. We're in summer. It's almost July. It's ridiculous. Can't believe how this year is flying by. Well, let's enjoy some Tchaikovsky from Sleeping Beauty.
Thank you.
the Bluebird Dance, the Bluebird Pas de Deux, Dance for Two, from the Sleeping Beauty Ballet by Tchaikovsky, played there by the Scottish National Orchestra, conducted by Naomi Yerby.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Newbon House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at newbonhouse.com. And the KU Natural History Museum, home to four floors of public exhibits, including the historic panorama, live snakes, insects, fossils, and more, highlighting past and present life on Earth to educate, engage, and inspire. More at biodiversity.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 92 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. It's 92 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Immanuel X will do the honors here in this music of Mozart, as I was talking about him earlier. Did I mention that in the midst of all of the incredible achievements that this man has seen throughout the course of his life, he's also been a professor at Juilliard since 1990. So what is that, 37 years? He manages to uphold that schedule and having been part of some of the greatest recordings in classical music over all these decades with, his buddies like Yo-Yo Ma. Well, here he is with Pinchas Zukerman leading the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, the Piano Concerto No. 18 by Mozart.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
X at the piano, and Pincus Zukerman conducting the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, the Piano Concerto No. 18 in B-flat by Mozart.
Our media landscape is changing every day, seemingly every minute. Tell us about your listening habits by taking our annual Media and Technology Survey. Your response helps the station better serve our listening community. Take the survey at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Support for music programming on KPR comes from Cynthia Lash, on World Asteroid Day. Thanks for supporting KPR from here to the stars. You're listening to KPR.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 92 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. It's 92 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
This is from Avril Coleridge Taylor, daughter of Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and a quite accomplished composer in her own right. So this is from the point of view of an Englishwoman. And a Sussex landscape is played here by the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by John Andrews. Sussex Landscape by Avril Coleridge Taylor. Some English sounds there, as played for us by the BBC Philharmonic. That was an all-English affair there. We had English musicians, too. Led by John Andrews. I'm Steve Seal. Do stay tuned.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 91 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. It's 91 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Here's a little trade secret for you about classical composers. And the truth is, it applies to all forms of the so-called high art form. Are you ready? Borrowing from yourself is perfectly okay. In other words, recycling your own material. It's not just okay, it's encouraged. Painters have done it. Poets have been self-referential. And yes, composers too. Especially when you have a good idea and then very few people hear it. Because, say, you write it for a play that is a bomb. Well, it wasn't your fault. You wrote good music. Why should it go to waste? Got an example from Schubert coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Supreme Court decision on birthright citizenship was a blow to the Trump administration, but immigrant rights groups are celebrating with caution. NPR's Emily Kwong reports from the rally outside the courthouse.
California Democratic Senator Alex Padilla called the ruling a moment to reflect on what it means to be an American.
The Supreme Court of the United States said, "No, Donald Trump, you do not get to decide who gets to be an American. The Constitution decides."
In the hours since, some Senate Republicans have urged Congress to pass legislation or a constitutional amendment to end the guarantee of birthright citizenship. All of it signals to organizer Lydia Walther Rodriguez that the fight is far from over.
It's a fight that we should never have to have had. Our community is exhausted, but we'll never surrender.
And as of today, Trump's executive order has been struck down. Emily Kwong, NPR News.
The birthright citizenship decision used the Constitution's 14th Amendment to rule that anyone born in the country with very limited exceptions is a citizen. But the Trump administration now says it's going to target what it calls birth tourism schemes. Here's Vice President J.D. Vance on Fox News today.
The concept of birthright citizenship, which is an absurdity to the 14th Amendment, that concept is hanging by a thread. And so what I take from that is, yes, we've got to fix the immigration system even more. We have to be even more aware of who's coming into our country to make sure that they're not benefiting from this atrocious Supreme Court ruling. But it also means that we have to keep fighting.
President Trump says Republicans will hold a first ever party convention in a midterm election year this fall. He says the gathering will take place on September 9th and 10th in Dallas. NPR's Elena Moore reports.
Trump says the convention will be an opportunity to, quote, celebrate our nation, our achievements, and our bright future. Party conventions usually happen during presidential election years, not during the midterms. But stakes are high for Republicans on Capitol Hill. They currently control both the House and the Senate by slim margins. And as many Americans report struggling with high prices, Democrats hope to flip some key seats. So even though Trump isn't on the ballot this fall, a party convention may be an opportunity for the leader of the GOP to rally his base before they head to the polls. Elena Moore, NPR News.
President Trump took in nearly $1.2 billion from his crypto businesses last year, according to a federal filing released today. Trump got more than $500 million from his World Liberty Financial business selling new crypto products, including governance tokens. Another crypto business, CIC Digital LLC, took in more than $600 million from sales of souvenir-type meme coins. Trump's real estate business also boomed last year. U.S. stocks rose today. The NASDAQ composite climbed 1.5%. This is NPR News from Washington. President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and Mideast envoy Steve Witkoff arrived in Qatar today for meetings with mediators working to negotiate an end to the war with Iran. It comes after a weekend of back-and-forth attacks. A spokesman for Qatar's foreign ministry says the U.S. delegation won't have any direct negotiations with Iranian diplomats. Thousands of South Africans protested across the country today, calling for undocumented migrants to leave the country. NPR's Kate Bartlett was at the marches in Johannesburg.
The protesters, all black South Africans, shouted Mabahambe, meaning they must go, referring to other African nationals. Some were dressed in traditional Zulu attire, many carrying sticks and sambokes, a kind of whip. Anti-migrant groups clad in military garb sung and danced. Many people had been drinking heavily since the morning, and the atmosphere was volatile. But there was a high police presence on the street and helicopters flying overhead. By the afternoon, only sporadic episodes of violence had been reported. Thousands of migrants from Malawi and Zimbabwe had fled the country prior to the day of protests. Kate Bartlett, NPR News, Johannesburg.
The largest digital camera ever built is beginning to capture images of unseen corners of the universe in finer detail. Perched on a Chilean mountaintop, researchers hope the Vera C. Rubin Observatory will provide clues about puzzling concepts like dark matter and dark energy. The observatory released its first images last year, including colorful shots of the Trifid and Lagoon nebulas. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Schwab, where investors have a range of choices to pursue investing goals, from self-directed investing to full-service wealth management, all in one place. More at schwab.com. This is NPR.
Good evening and welcome into our Tuesday night listening. I'm Steve Seal. Some music to be sung on a summer night by Frederick Delius coming up in about 15 minutes. The Cambridge Singers will do the honors there. Lovely serenade from Yosef Suk, and Schubert does a little musical recycling later on. Here's something that is just so delightful, and it's a Bach Brandenburg, but arranged for guitar trio. So you get all the intricacy and all the great motifs in the Bach Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, but there's this beautiful lightness in this arrangement and performance by the Amsterdam Guitar Trio.
Thank you.
See, isn't that nice? That would be the Amsterdam Guitar Trio with just like a little, a zesty, light little, sort of like Good Seasons dressings, isn't it? You get a little glass carafe there, you shake it up, and you get that arrangement of the Amsterdam Guitar Trio. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's a very nice little arrangement of the Brandenburg No. 3 by the Amsterdam Guitar Trio. I'm punchy this evening, obviously.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, inviting viewers to connect at station events. Details delivered to email inboxes in the Kansas City PBS Live e-blast. Available at kansascitypbs.org. And the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 91 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. It's 91 and fair. That's KPR weather.
To be sung of a summer night by Frederick Delius. Here's the Cambridge Singers, led by John Rutter. Why spoil it with words, with text? Just perfect. To be sung of a summer night by Frederick Delius in that beautiful vocalese, the Cambridge Singers, conducted by John Rutter. A serenade for strings here by the Czech composer Josef Suk, played by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Serenade for Strings by Yusuf Suk, played there by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Our media landscape is changing every day, seemingly every minute. Tell us about your listening habits by taking our annual media and technology survey. Your response helps the station better serve our listening community. Take the survey at kansaspublicradio.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, providing health care to uninsured neighbors since 2005 with the help of volunteers. Patients can access care by appointment at locations across Manhattan. Details at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 89 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. It's 89 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Here's an example of musical recycling. Franz Schubert wrote music for a play called Rosamunde, which you've heard of. You've not heard of it for a reason, I guess, because it was a dog. It was a bomb. And Schubert wasn't about to let the music that he wrote for it go to waste. And he used some of those themes in two other places, actually, in a string quartet and also in this, his Magic Harp Overture, played here by the Stuttgart Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Roger Norrington.
Thank you.
Magic Harp Overture by Schubert. Our music tonight, Support L, a commercial real estate firm using data and AI to transform how clients find, manage, and invest in properties around the world. JLL.com, JLL, see a brighter way.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 89 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. It's 89 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. On the first day of his second term, President Trump tried to bar citizenship for babies born in the U.S. if their parents entered the country illegally or were only living here temporarily. The Supreme Court ruled against him today, but NPR's Mara Liasson says Trump succeeded in making birthright citizenship a political issue.
Trump has really succeeded in pushing the Overton window. In other words, changing the parameters of the debate. Before this, birthright citizenship was outside the parameters. It was a settled matter. Now it's inside. And even though the Supreme Court reaffirmed the executive's control over immigration policy in other cases, they drew the line at birthright citizenship. And in a weird way, that could be a political boon for him. Because if they had ruled for him, there would have been a tremendous amount of chaos to sort out which babies were citizens and which were not. And now he can just keep the message without the headaches of implementation.
NPR's Mara Liasson reporting. The Supreme Court upheld state laws barring transgender girls and women from playing on school athletic teams. The court's conservative majority has repeatedly ruled against transgender Americans in the past year. The decision said state bans in Idaho and West Virginia don't violate the Constitution or the federal law known as Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination in education. More than two dozen other Republican-led states have adopted bans on female transgender athletes. The U.S. is heading for another record low murder rate. As NPR's Martin Costi reports, violent crime has been falling quickly since the pandemic.
Crime statistician Jeff Asher collects data from a sampling of police departments so he can project national trends ahead of the FBI's national numbers. He says the first months of this year suggest the national murder rate is about 18% lower than the same period last year, which was already near a record low.
We've reached a point where we've never seen violence this low in terms of murder. And that's fantastic. You could alternatively say, hey, we're still talking about 13 or 14,000 murders. So that's 13 or 14,000 too many. But the progress that has been made against this issue is just incredible.
The rates of other kinds of crimes are also on a downward trajectory following the crime spike of the pandemic years. Martin Costi, NPR News.
New Jersey Republican Congressman Tom Kaine Jr. says he was being treated for depression during his lengthy absence from Congress. In a speech on his first day back to work, he suggested he remained silent about his condition until now because he is a private person by nature. After the speech, Kaine left the Capitol quickly without answering questions from reporters. Kaine represents a battleground district that includes President Trump's Bedminster Golf Club, and he's facing a challenge from Democratic nominee Rebecca Bennett this fall. U.S. stocks rose today. The S&P 500 gained more than 0.75%. The Dow added 0.25%, and the NASDAQ climbed 1.5%. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has dismissed an Israeli proposal to recognize violence against Armenians by the Ottoman Empire during World War I as genocide. Erdogan turned the allegation back at Israel by pointing to Palestinian deaths in Gaza. Turkey has long lobbied against recognizing the Armenian deaths as genocide. Historians estimate up to 1.5 million Armenians were killed. The Educational Testing Service, the nonprofit behind major standardized tests like the GRE, is acquiring a major college admissions exam. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny has more.
ETS administers a number of exams already. The GRE for graduate admissions and the TOEFL, an English language test taken by many international students. And now they'll take over the ACT. More than 1 million students take the ACT each year as part of college applications and to get their high school diploma. More than a dozen states include taking the ACT as a requirement to graduate. ETS has struggled in recent years with layoffs and buyouts. It was historically the administrator of the SAT, another college admissions test that rivals the ACT. But in 2024, the College Board, which owns the SAT, took the administration over. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
Polarizing Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb has been appointed to lead a White House panel studying UFOs. The new Science Advisory Council is tasked with finding the origin of unidentified objects spotted by military pilots and others. Loeb's theories have won praise in UFO circles, but put him at odds with other astronomers who say he jumps to exotic conclusions. It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Odoo, an all-in-one business management software platform for small or large businesses with the goal of being flexible and scalable. Learn more about Odoo at odoo.com. This is NPR.
Welcome to All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson. We're going to start this hour out with a couple of recent releases. This one is from trumpeter Dwayne Clemons, from his album Center of Gravity, recorded live at Smalls. Amanda Sedgwick joins him on alto saxophone on this one, a Barry Harris composition, Burgundy.